title today is Change Forevermore. And I know in my own life, and I know that in many of your lives as well, that the Lord Jesus Christ has changed your life and you will never, ever be the same again. And we praise Him forevermore. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. This is going to be kind of a last sermon in this series that we have been doing here. And then I'm going to move into a series about the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to share one more sermon because I couldn't get to where I wanted to be last Sunday. So we go to Matthew chapter 6, and when we go to Matthew chapter 6 and we go to verse 9, and many of you know this passage of Scripture by heart because it's always been titled the Lord's Prayer. But when we stop and think about it, it's not really the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer today, just briefly. But what we're really looking at is the Lord's instruction for us to pray. And He says in verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." In verse 10, it's kind of interesting because it gives you the purpose of prayer. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time that we go to the Lord in prayer, we're praying for God's will to be done. We're praying for His will to be done in that situation or whatever that it is that we're praying about. Now, this will always be called the Lord's Prayer. You've always known that, and it will always be called that. There's no changing that. But truly, it's the Lord's Prayer for you and I is found in John chapter 17. So we're going to go there. We go to John 17. In John 17, and we go to verse 20. So John chapter 17 and verse 20. And this is what Jesus says. "I do not pray for these alone also, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word." You and I today. I do not pray for these alone. I'm not praying just for the disciples that are standing here today, but I'm praying for everyone that comes to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ as knowing Me as Lord and Savior. I am praying for them today that they all may be one. As You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, these I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one, in them and You and Me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Verse 23 again. "In them and in You and Me, in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me." That the world will know that the Father sent the Son. That the world would know and understand that Jesus Christ was the only begotten of the Father. That He was the anointed one. That He is the Messiah who came to save the world from their sin. Through our oneness with God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, the world will see that. In verse 21, it said that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world, listen, that the world may believe that You sent Me. Our oneness would show the connection that you and I have with Jesus. One in thoughts, one in actions, desires, motivations. And the question is that you today? Are you one in your thoughts and your actions and your desires and your motivations in your relationship with the Heavenly Father that other people are seeing that difference, that change that is in your life, and that change and that difference is drawing them to come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you reveal your oneness with Christ in your life? and through your lifestyle, through your salvation experience, a life that has changed forevermore and will never be the same. Do you know where we're going in the scripture today? You should know by now, because every week we've been going back to the same scripture over and over and over again. So we go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17 today. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God that has reconciled us to himself through Christ, Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Verse 17, my life has changed forever. How can you meet a risen Savior and stay the same? Remember the road to Damascus? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And they said, what? When he was with us, didn't our hearts burn within us? I no longer walk in oneness with the world today. I walk in oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least I try as hard as I can. Remember a couple weeks ago, I'm different than other world people. I'm different from the world. I'm not better, but I'm different. I think different. I act different. I believe different. My goals are different. I no longer have a worldview looking through the lens of the world. I have a worldview that looks through the lens of the Bible. I have a biblical worldview. In verse 18, it says this. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation to help others come to know the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Verse 20, now then we are what? We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest attractions to the gospel, I want you to listen, one of the greatest attractions to the gospel is your changed life. Think about it just for a moment. One of the greatest witnesses to the truth of the gospel, one of the greatest witnesses to the truth of the gospel is you. Your changed life. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we go to the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. We go to verse 40. So Acts 2, verse 40. In verse 40, it says this. So Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, about ready to go off the platform. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, so as anyone that had a need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Lives were being changed for the gospel. I mean, that's very evident, isn't it? The changed lives, you know what the changed lives did? They attracted others to the truth. Because lives were being changed, miracles were taking place, and things were happening in the body of Christ. It spoke to all of the community. Others wanted to have that. Others should want what you have. Others should see your changed life. Others should see that your life is different. It'll never be the same. And they should want that for themselves. Leo, Pastor Leo, you got something in your life I want. That was one of the greatest leading witnessing things to me when I worked at Firestone, when somebody witnessed to me. Because we all witnessed. We were all led into the body of Christ by others that did not have fear but told us about their faith. And this person, I recognized something in his life that I did not have. It's not that he was shouting scripture at me. It was not that he was saying, well, you need to read this, you need to read that, you need to read this. There was something in his life that he had that I knew that I was missing in my life. And what is that something in your life? It's the Spirit of the living God that dwells within your life. If your life is changed, other people will see it. There was two friends talking. And the one friend was near death. And the one that was dying says, you know, he says, I almost became a Christian once. And the other friend says, well, why didn't you? What stopped you from making that decision? Well, because I got to know some who said they were Christians. And I saw that I didn't need it, what they had. It's the truth, isn't it? What they had wasn't, they didn't have nothing to offer me. What they had wasn't going to offer a difference in my life. Because I knew other Christians, is what he said. Because I knew them and I see the conduct of their life, there was nothing there that was an attraction to me. And he never made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. May there be an attraction of our changed life that other people want to come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, we go to verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it's a verse you're very familiar with. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The church has lost its ability to create a thirst. The church has lost its ability to create a thirst. The world is not seeing the difference between us and the world. And when the world does not see a difference between us and the world, there is nothing that is attracting them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are to be the preservative to a decaying and dying world. Do you see the stark contrast here, the difference between light and dark? Daylight, night. Look what it says here. You are the light of the world, and without the light of the world, you have nothing but darkness. That's the comparison. Wherever you go, that there's light in your life that you're willing to shine on other people. We are to be the shining light to the world, allowing the true light, because we're not the true light, but allowing the true light to shine through us, the Lord Jesus Christ, to share his life with other people through us. So then, what truly is the problem? Why isn't the world seeing the changed life in the believer's walk? That's kind of what we come down to after all these weeks that we've been talking about this. Well, if you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 16, it says this. Matthew 9 and verse 16. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. just as you could not stick the strict requirements of the law into salvation by grace, you cannot stick your new life in the Lord Jesus Christ into your old lifestyle. And I see that happening more and more and more. People that are unwilling to change, but I want to know Jesus because I want to go to heaven. So they accept Jesus, so they know him, so they know that they're going to go to heaven, but I can keep my old lifestyle. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? All old things have passed away, all things become new. I can't keep that over there. The old man nature has to go away. I have to take off my old man nature, and I need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need to walk clothed in him. It doesn't match. It will work. And that's what he's saying here in the scripture to us. It does not work to take a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ and stick it in your old lifestyle. You can't put it in there. Another portion of scripture, I didn't look it up for the essence of time, it tells us in the scripture that we are supposed to evaluate, make the decision, consider the cost. There is a cost to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the longest time before I was saved, I was unwilling to make that cost. I didn't want to change life. Oh, I wanted Jesus because I did want to go to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? But I didn't want to sacrifice the things that were due. I had some good friends that I went drinking with. I had good friends I did things with. I didn't want to let that go. I wanted to keep that. But finally, through the working of the Holy Spirit, he showed me that you need to consider the cost. What is it for you? What is it worth it for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I'm telling you today, brother and sister, it is worth my life to know Jesus. He is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. And that burning that's in my life when I come to know Jesus, it's still burning within my life to tell others, to let other people know. No, it's not about getting bigger. It's about knowing more about Jesus, getting closer to him, growing his life into my life deeper and deeper and deeper. When you try to take that new life and put it in your old life, you've lost your testimony. And that's why people say, well, I don't want to go to church because there's a lot of hypocrites at church. They say this, but they live this. Well, it's the truth. But I always tell them, well, then don't go to Hy-Vee because they're willing to take your money. Don't go here because they're really being hypocritical. It's all about the money. It's not about you. But still, you understand where people are coming from. Business dealings, the things that we do, walking in the oneness of that relationship with Jesus, whether it's inside the church or outside the church. My life has changed. I have a different direction. I have different thoughts. I make different decisions because I know Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 8. Let's go to Luke. We're almost done. Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11. This is really, really interesting. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the whole study is the parable of the sower is a wonderful thing. And I'll tell you this. This is not part of the sermon, but I'll tell you this today. One time here a few years ago, I wanted to have clover drilled into my hay field because my hay field is just all grass. So I thought I would build up the tonnage and I would have red clover drilled into that. And I did do that. And the person that did it said, you know, he said, probably you won't see that this summer. But maybe late fall, you will see that. You will see that. Well, fall came and I didn't see it. I mean, you can see clover when it's growing. And saw nothing. Nothing happened. The next year, nothing happened. I thought, well, that seed is dead. That seed wasn't any good. That seed was not any good. 3 years later, last year, I had a bumper crop of red clover. I tell you that because the seed is perfect. The seed that we're talking about here is the Word of God. It's perfect. And maybe in somebody's life, I'm telling you this today because maybe you need to hear this, that somebody in somebody's life, you sowed the Word of God, but you haven't seen no outcome. You have seen nothing come from that. But that Word that you invested in their life, that Word is perfect. You have to believe and know that someday it's going to sprout. It's going to sprout in their life. And it's going to flourish. In this scripture, in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, it falls away." Verse 14. Now listen to these words really close. "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity." This is an amazing verse when you stop and think about it, because verse 14, this shows us the picture of the saint that has one foot in the world and has one foot in the Word. The salvation experience, the heaven experience, but I still want to live my old lifestyle. This is exactly what this Word is sharing with us today. There is fruit. Now listen to it. Listen to verse 14 again. "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life." Now listen to the last words. "And bring no fruit to maturity." So there's fruit. There's fruit that's produced. It may be a little stunted, but it's there. But it's small and it's limited. Why? Because the cares of the world, the financial gain, the pleasures of this world, all take precedent over Christ. What needs to change in my life? Are you today changed forevermore? Are you changed forevermore? Do you think differently than the world? Do you act differently? Are your goals different from what the world's are? We need saints that have attraction. Did you see that? Did you catch that when we read that in Acts? It said they had favor among men. You get that? They had favor among men. In other words, you would like them. They weren't weird. They weren't strange. One of the things about Jesus is he had favor among men. In other words, I'm telling you today, if you would meet Jesus face to face, you would like him. You would like him. Because he had favor. People in the book of Acts had favor with people. There's people that know you. There's people that know the change that has taken place in your life. And because of that change that has taken place in your life, you know what? It's affecting them. Because they're seeing something that you don't have. There is nobody. Listen to me, saints. There is nobody in the world that has what you have. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the world cannot have it. It's discerned. They can't have it. They can't receive it until they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have something that 90% of the world do not have. You talk about glory to God. Hallelujah. What we want them to do is to recognize that. Recognize that difference in our life. Not because we're all special, but because Jesus is special. If there was one thing, let's just break it down to one thing. If there's one thing that needs to change in your life that's choking out the gospel of Jesus Christ from the world or the cares or the things of this earth, what would that be, and what are you willing to get rid of? Let's give it over today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just rejoice in this day. And man, Father, we rejoice in your word. Your word is so powerful. We know that your seed is pure, that is without void. It's without anything, Father. The farmers this year, they bought seed. Dennis Myers just bought seed the other day. He's planning on taking that seed, putting it in the ground, and then it's going to come up, and it's going to bless him many times over. But that seed is impure compared to this word of God, because that word is pure. We invest it in people's lives, expecting for it to take root and to grow. Help us to be the people that you would want us to be. Help us to be people where other people in the world see a change, difference, and they are attracted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we leave this place today, may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in all things and in everything. In Jesus Christ we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.